name is brought to the Secretary of State for War. But Fleurs Corselet, have you read the operation order?
For Vimy Ridge?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gone through it.
It's very good. It's very good. But when you figure the carrying party, what we were carrying plus
your normal
120 rounds, plus a bandolier, plus a pick or a shovel, plus sandbags, or probably between a roll of wire strip, anything that they could load on you, looks like a goddamn you know, screw stakes, wire cutters, hedging gloves, 2 mils bombs carried in the haversack. I carried I had a bomb bag, and I used to carry a couple of spare mils, plus a couple of pair of socks and a can of beans.
Just in case.
I was always carried spare socks, good socks.
Yeah.
Socks is one thing you learn.
I suppose dry feet are something of a.
A dry feet are the more important than anything else.
Yeah.
We are the Royal Highlanders. We come from Montreal. We come from good men, some from Coates and Paul. They were. Well, you tell the. That's the mule track at Carfax. I dreamt they built the marble hall with rivers of beer abound. I forgot now whether he mentioned the raft across the river there to leave it. They wanted, the hell was it? It's in here somewhere. I think it was Long John Molson, I'm not sure. But they wanted some information and some wiring done on the over in Lake in front of Avion.
Mm-hmm.
So they got the party together and they made up a raft. They got the jug of rum with it. The raft took off. Well, I don't know what happened. They lost the jug of rum. They lost the raft. And they had no clothes. And an officer of the Patricius phones up. We have an officer and two other ranks who claim they belong to your battalion. We have no identification, period. Well, Jesus Christ. But it was bollocks naked to come in there, and here they were coming away to the right.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I'd be awful careful about, particularly on patrol. Come in where, for God's sakes, or let them know where you're coming in. Otherwise, you shoot first. I did that one night, and I shot into a patrol of the Patricius.
You didn't hit anyone, did you?
I did. I hit him.
Yeah.
And I did that one night. And
where
Patricius,
was that?
I kept my mouth shut around the Patricius for a long time.
Where was that at?
Huh?
Where was that at? You hit the Patricius.
Right in front of the ridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd come in. Well, they had no goddamn business coming in there.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't warned.
No. Was it a raiding patrol?
Top was with me. Top was with me at the time. And I called him. I said, listen, we could hear the rattling and the noise going out there. And he says, it's not one of our patrols. He says, we haven't any out. Nobody's notified us.
Mm-hmm.
So we went and it was getting closer. And I says, well, what do you think, sir? There's open fire. Okay, open fire. I heard yelling and screaming and that was it.
Had they given no warning that they were coming in?
You're bloody well not going to. That's that you can't do it.
Yeah.
You can't yell and say, I'm coming in, because you're dead ducks for Jerry.
Yeah.
So.
Did they yell to you after, though, that, hey, don't shoot us?
I did meet somebody at a Corps dinner in 1934. One of Patricia was sitting opposite me, and He was mentioning about being on a patrol one night, and the patrol got shot up by their own bloody guns. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting right across the bloody table from him.
You didn't mention it, I hope.
I didn't. I kept my mouth shut because he had quite a bit of beer in him, and I figured he might get nasty. He's a lot bigger than I am. And he said, he did mention that some son of a bitch that shot the patrol up. Mm-hmm. And I come almost saying, well, if you stupid bastards use your heads and let us know where you were. But that's, you can't take chances. You have to shoot. Mm-hmm. It's happened to lots of people who got shot on patrol like that. Because their own stupidity. Mm-hmm. You've got to know, you've got to have a sense of direction. You know, the old stunt there was a stunt we used it, our snipers used it quite a bit. You get some phosphorescent paint and you put a stake out in no man's land. You line your rifle up on it, put it in a fixed position, try and get a couple of shots in the daylight if you can, and that stake, get it zeroed in and just wait. All you have to do, when the stake's dark, squeeze it through. We've got an awful lot that way. There's a little touch of phosphorescent paint, and you had to have good eyes. The snipers, them bastards, they were fighting their own bloody war. They joined us for rations. As far as this one was concerned, that didn't mean anything. They were out there, and they were a funny bunch. They were, you see them, you could always tell them, a sniper would come out with his Ross rifle very carefully bundled up, and so careful, and the sights covered. And
was it a Ross?
Always a Ross.
I've heard that they had conversions of a Lee Enfield Ross in one with a Lee Enfield chamber on it.
Oh, yeah, but that was the bastard rifle that banged your fingers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Lee Springfield. Mm. That was a bastard of a thing. You got your forefinger all buggered up when you try to close the bolt. Mm. But with a Ross and a sight, a Weaver sight, brother, there was no hope in hell of a jury getting missed.
Yeah.
But yes, they do. I've seen a jury getting hit. They'd work and they'd be filling in a hunk of trench. And the bastard would get hit, and they'd drag him away, and some other stupid son of a bitch would be right back there again.
Yeah.
So what could they do? Just, okay, let him have another one. But I never met only one guy that ever marked his rifle.
With notches.
Yeah, I only met one, and he wasn't too bright anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But most of these guys, they couldn't give you a tally how many they didn't. Didn't give a damn.
Sure.
As I say there, I often thought those were the type of people I'd kind of keep clear of at the end of a war. Because
mm-hmm.
they always seemed to be the same individual type. I went out sniping a couple of times, but
felt uneasy about it?
Yeah, you haven't got a hope in hell, a poor bastard, if you... This one guy, he said, I was out with him on a, out in his, where he was hid, and I saw a good chance of a body shot. He said, no, he says, if I don't get the son of a bitch through the head, I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Even the whole idea of this to the...
He wanted to kill,
he wanted to clean kill, as opposed to...
He wanted
to
clean kill, wasn't that what it is? You know, I was just thinking, so many expressions, an expression that if you slugged a guy, you cold-cocked him. And I've never heard that expression now in 40 years or more.
Cold-cocked.
Yeah, you got cold-cocked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not only got slugged, you went over, in other words, you went over, you took a piece of lead pipe, you went on a patrol out for a prisoner, and you cold-cocked him and dragged him in.
Yeah. I've heard occasionally in boxing matches or football games, they occasionally will bring that up, but it isn't something that's commonly used.
I've never heard it. No, I haven't heard it so many years.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. But, well, we used to, as I say, there was an outfit, a Canadian Light Horse. They used to wear Stetson hats. They were the Demion Cowboys. They used to come up and take our prisoners. They never remember in action. But they used to come up with their drawn swords and take our prisoners after we'd capture them, took them back, okay, turn over the Divion Cowboys, when they marched along with their drawn swords. But Divion was the town they were always stationed in. Mm-hmm. And all of these Stetson and Mounty hats. I think the Mounted Police Squadron went into that. But there were a whole squadron, you know, of the Mounted Police went in as cavalry, Corps Cavalry. Divion was also there, our place for the Corps Paymaster was over at Divion. That's getting way back. We had good divisional commanders, and most of them were very good, I think. Most of the First War senior officers were very good.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them were militia.
Yeah. Well, Curry was militia, wasn't it?
Curry, yeah, it was militia. He was fifth from Victoria here.
It was the artillery.
Fifth artillery, yeah.
That's right.
Now, McNaughton was a RMC, mm-hmm. and he was a good. We had General, McDonnell. He was a good general.
What about his son? Because I did recall that his son was a high-ranking officer as well, Lieutenant Colonel.
Hmm?
His son, was he a very good officer? McDonnell Jr.?
Who?
McDonnell's son. The Lieutenant Colonel McDonnell. The general's son.
Who, McDonnell? I don't know.
Because it comes up in Top's book that at one time MacDonnell's son actually is elevated to brigade commander in place of his father at one point, when his father is sent to the rear.
No, MacDonnell, he went to division. He took a division over.
Mm-hmm.
MacDonnell went and took over the 1st Division. He was a brigade commander, and then he took over. He had 3rd Div, and then he took 1st Div.
What about his son, though?
Mac is a real, he's a real ding-a-ling.
Is he? Or was he, I should say?
When he talked Gaelic to that bloody old horse. But, geez, you could always tell Haig, though. Haig come galloping all along the first cavalry with lancers, a bloody near king's escort of lancers.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen less than 4 lancers. Come along there, my God, you think, and then the poor bloody infantrymen. Well, actually, you've seen pictures of some of them, the battalions lined up there, and...
waiting for him to go down
You can just imagine him holding his nose.
Yeah.
But the smell of the... I'll tell you, we did get a little ripe, you know.
By right.
But you never knew it because everybody was the same.
Yeah.
Because the time we come out, when we did that long spell in the line, my God, we were filthy.
Mm-hmm.
But we tried to shave. If you had a little tea left over, you shaved in that. But when things got tough, you know, you used to take tea, put them on a board, put them on top of the trench, and let the sun dry it out, and then you smoked it. Oh, it's horrible stuff to try to smoke. I tried to roll a cigarette with it. And some of these old-timers got... And I used the odd clay pipe. And boy, you'd say that old pipe just going, the stink of that bloody burned tea. It's horrible. But it was something to smoke. And you come along, I've seen some of the officers come along, top would come along sometimes. Oh, you got some tea cooking? The goddamn stuff had been on the boil for hours, so it would just about eat the side out of the Dixie. So, Top was a good head. He saved my bacon to a certain extent when my pension claim came up, because he was chairman of the pension commissioner then.
Yeah.
He says, I know this man. I says, I can't understand what in the hell is holding up this, why his pension's been so long. Mm-hmm. Well, I said, this is the pension commission that held it up. Mm-hmm. I never had any such fast action in my life.
As soon as he spoke, it came into effect.
Christ. I had a hurried conversation, says, can you be back here at 2 o'clock? I thought, well, maybe there's some more of this. And come back, my check, everything else, retroactive for umpteen years. So, boy, did I was really in the chips. But it shows what you can get when you go down there.
Mm-hmm.
I was down there, and I got fed up with it. Well, it was the Great War Veterans were the organization then, and they were about as much use as the Legion.
Mm-hmm.
There were, Harry Bray was the president, and he was trying to push some personal cases through. Wanted to push them ahead of mine. Top says, this man is here, we'll take his. And Bray gave me a dirty look and says, well, he says, I was supposed to be handling your case, right? I says, and what a horse's ass you made of it. I said, that's why I'm down here.
Mm-hmm.
I never was very choosy about
what you said.
I embarrassed her. Boy, I still do it. Yeah. She says I get so embarrassed. I went down to Toronto a few years ago, and I wanted to park in the public parking under the City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big fat guy sitting in a chair. Going and he snarls at me, put on an aerial. What? Put on your aerial. I says, look, what the hell are you, no way you talking to? But I says, I would suggest you get off your fat ass and pull it down yourself. I says, where I come from, we have a little courtesy. And where you come from? I says, British Columbia. He says, I might have known. Jesus Christ. She says, she gets so embarrassed with my, well, why the hell, why pussyfoot about it?
Mm-hmm.
If you have something to say, say
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
If you're thinking it, well, what's the use?
Mm-hmm.
You don't get no results that way.
And no satisfaction either.
No satisfaction. But all embarrassed people, I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm getting to the age that I can
get away with it.
Get away with it.
Yeah.
Then I did it anyway, whether I get away with it or not.
Yeah.
But, I'll enjoy myself, I think, on the Warriors Day parade there, because I'll, game, leg and all, I'm going to be there. And it wouldn't take much to convince me I should wear my kilt, but the only thing that's stopped me is it's going to be awful hot. And too hot to wear my tunic,
mm-hmm.
So I think I better use a little common sense.
And just wear the kilt without a tunic.
I'll just put my gongs on. If I didn't wear them, my daughter'd have a hemorrhage.
Yeah.
God, she'll be shepherding me around over the whole bloody place. But, it's too bad, though, that things have been, there's so many things that could have been saved. Now, here's something here. This was kind of out of somebody's garbage. See that pennant?
Yeah.
I don't know what battalion that is.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that was put out during the First War. Somebody's pride and joy. What battalion is it?
62nd.
I don't even know anywhere in the hell or from.
Mm-hmm. I've got the official history. I guess, to find out where they are.
But the 62nd, I don't know whether a British Columbia outfit or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it was thrown out in the garbage, things like that. Look, do you know those, have you seen those postcards with the, with all the lace on them?
Mm.
That we used to send back in France?
Yeah.
Do you realize what they're worth today?
Mm.
My God, it's fantastic.
Well, there's collectors for everything, aren't there?
They're,
someone will collect them if they have
these. My family people there in Kent, they've got stacks of them. Jesus, and I was surprised. I said, my God, I said, where did these come from? Oh, we saved them from Dad when he was... And, Oh, the badges, though, I didn't do very good.
No.
But I got a couple, but I got a letter from Australia the other day. He says, a friend of mine is going to New Zealand. We'll see what he can pick up. I'm kind of short on New Zealand. I've only got two of them. Yeah. I used to have lots of them. We used to wear these belts with all the badges of every time we could scrounge a badge, you wear them and wear them around your kilt.
Mm-hmm.
The only trouble is that half the time the bloody things were a nuisance and interfered with your kilt pin.
Mm-hmm.
I get together out there with that 43rd type out there. We have a little. You can talk to him. Charlie Warren, though, Charlie talks too goddamn much.
I think that'll be my problem with him, is getting a word in edgewise.
But he can tell you where the hell the battalion was, or what it was doing, or I wouldn't be surprised to tell you what time the rations came up. But then that's where the ration part, that's where you use comradeship.
Mm-hmm.
You got you could judge a battle casualties,
mm-hmm.
by how many men on a loaf. After an action, it was how many loaves to a man.
Mm-hmm.
Rations statements were sent in before the battle. So many men, so many loaves, so much to a man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it comes up, see, the ration, it comes up in brigade, comes up in sandbags. Ration party brings it up. So many loaves. All right, if it's four men on a loaf, not bad. The six men on a loaf, but the section leader has to cut it. And boy, he better cut that right, because there's all those people are watching him. Same way with the jam. You stick it in your top part of your mess tin.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody watching. And he'd better cut that right. And a section leader, I've seen section leaders say, to hell with this, I don't want no bloody stripes, this is driving, I'm losing too many friends.
Mm-hmm.
But we come out of Passchendaele, it was three loaves to a man.
That's how decimated you guys were.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much you guys had been cut up by the fight.
No.
There's not much bread.
Vimy, I forgot. We didn't because then we went out on rest, and the rations were, I guess the bakshi ones were probably peddled by the quartermaster,
mm-hmm.
to the local populace.
Yeah.
But they came up according to that ration indent that went in before the battle. As I say, that was the most I ever saw, was after Passchendaele. God, when even Bully Beef. There's a portion of trench, you know, in front of Arras. We paved that with Bully Beef.
Really?
One can, you see the shape of a Bully Beef can?
Mm-hmm.
Small at one end, large at the other. See, we had so goddamn much of it, so much of the cases of the damn bloody stuff, we paved that trench. One up, one down, one up, one down.
Mm-hmm.
God, to mention Bully Beef to a guy like that, and he'd bring it in, we got about a bag full of cases of it.
Mm-hmm.
Even case of it stuck in. So you dug a trench, and the Parados was a good place for storage,
mm-hmm.
but a poor place for sleeping. So you dug into below the parapet. You dug yourself about 6 foot if you can,
mm-hmm.
not so high. You could swipe something to shore it up, that was fine. Put your ground sheet in there. Roll yourself up in your ground sheet with your rifle, and you're snug as a rock in a bug. No. But some of these stupid bastards would start laying on the other side, on the Peridot side.
Mm-hmm.
And on a whiz-bang, he could put it right over the lip of that parapet.
Right down into it.
Right into it. And a whiz-bang made an awful mess here when you caught one for yourself. Now that was exactly what it was. That's all you heard. High velocity, really. How in the hell the son of a bitch... Then rum jars were another thing that... you could see a rum jar coming.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, when she hit. It just... That meant work parties for a hell of a while. See, trenches were not built so. So you had your revetments. In other words, the other way she'd... The surefire, you'd never be able to control your casualties. Support line was generally left straight. So if you have to get your troops out to support the first and second line, you can get them out in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't put revetments in the third line.
Because
otherwise, you see, the time you go this way. Old Long John Molson, he was a goddamn, he had feet about so big. And in the duckboard, you'd hear Long John coming, well, flopping those big feet. Well, somebody, one night, I said, okay, Long John's coming. I said, I'm on sentry duty with a rifle and bayonet. And you didn't you holler who's hauled, who goes there or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a case of a bayonet in your guts, who's that? That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And with your finger on the trigger and the safety off. For Long John, I could hear him coming up, but I knew goddamn well who it was. He just came out of the revetment and it stopped. Bayed it right up at his gut. Who's that? You know goddamn well who it is. You're going to be coming. He wasn't fooled of it. I always like to keep on my toes because you never know who the hell was pussyfooting around. Always some officer... Usually some smart guy just...
trying to catch you up, I suppose.
Yeah, some new draft
officer
wanted to catch you, see if he catch a sentry
off
guard. But Tom caught me, and I was one night, and I was had my head down on the... right on the parapet, and the gun was alongside of me. And I was sound asleep.
Mm-hmm. He just woke you up and said...
He just shook me gently. He says, wake up, son. He says... I know you're tired. He says, we're all tired. He says, but try and keep awake. He says, I'll try and get another man up to relieve you as soon as I can. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of officers banged, you'd have been back and in trouble. But I always, that's why I always liked him. He got his whole jaw shattered by the same bunch of bombs that hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my last blighty. His whole jaw, he was standing there on the damn thing. There's about five potato mashers all tied to a stick, all pulled with one,
mm-hmm.
and it let go. Jesus. Well, I can remember just a bloody flash.
Did it explode in midair, or did it land first, then explode?
No, this is 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So it just, all I heard was a fuck. This is sound like a fuck. See these bastards up on the top of the parados of the trench.
Mm-hmm.
They were in our rear, you see. They were in there coming up the parapet. We were in that old bloody trench.
Mm-hmm.
Them bastards were laying doggo behind the parados, and we hadn't even seen them. We got really caught that night, but good. We beat them off. But I dropped the minute I was hit. I unbuckled my equipment and reached up and undone my shoulder straps and got rid of the equipment. To hell with this. I couldn't see or anything else, so stretcher bearer, Kylie, he says, Christ, he says, where are you, Hayden? I said, I don't know, but I've sure got a lot of hardware hanging onto me somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
As my eyes are, I couldn't see.
Well, where were
the eyes? My face, Christ, my arms, and head, and everything else. I was a mess.
You were scraped up pretty badly by the blast.
And Yeah, and they... So he says, well, he says, you better try. Can you make your way out? I says, I'll make my way out. I says, the line to the communication trench is just about three bays on. I says, I can make that. Well, he says, you better, because he says, I've got to look after some other people. He says, we can't. You can make it out. Okay. I says, goodbye. Mm-hmm. So I left everything. All I took was my pistol. I took my pistol and over, jammed it in my pocket and left it, because I was charged with that bloody thing. I could always get equipment, but getting another pistol was...
Did you have a pistol because you were a Lewis gunner?
Yeah.
Because you didn't have a rifle issue to you?
Yeah. But I grabbed a rifle there when the first attack came on, and yes, that was a stupid thing. So I had my pistol in the holster, and I grabbed a rifle when the first attack came, and I had this stupid idea, how am I going to hurt some, for some reason, in the back of my mind, I thought they were the size of 22s, how am I going to hurt anybody with these bloody things?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm shoving them in and firing as fast as I can. And of all the stupid things to think of, how am I going to hurt anybody with these bloody little things?
Mm-hmm.
So the goddamn just things that come into your mind. But, I had to go. Well, I found ran into some people that were going out, some lightly wounded that were going out, and they got me out as far as the final, like, a reserve trench. There's an artillery limber going through, and they tied me on the limber and took me bed down to up to the dressing station.
Mm-hmm.
From there. See, I didn't know that I'd been hit in the back, too. That's the hell of it.
Yeah, I think you told me before you had been sitting around and you'd gone through a number of different stages before they even noticed. You were
right
on a train, I think, weren't you?
Because my kilt was soaked.
Yeah.
This stupid bloody nurse. Your card tells you just one head, face, neck, and arms. And I said, I don't care what the card says.
Mm-hmm.
Something wrong with my back. She rolled me over and saw the blood-soaked kilt. She said, well, there must be something. that was, of course. See, it shows you. The doctor said, you know, he says, all we needed was about a hair more, and he says, you would have never walked again.
It was that
just
close
a hair.
To the spine.
It was that it just missed the spinal cord.
Yeah.
So as I say, you can...
If your name's on it, you're going to get it, and if not...
If it's got your number on it,
yeah.
Okay. Call it kismet, fate, call it what you like.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, I fall back on the old... Wait for the one with the number on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming one day, but I hope I don't know when it's coming.
Yeah.
But today, what the hell? I might go out on the bloody road and some stupid son of a bitch drunk hit me. Or get caught off the highway. It's more dangerous out there than it is. At least I knew, in the unit,